The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Would you like to be seated, please? Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service. Welcome to those of you here in church. Welcome also to those joining us via the live stream and those who will connect later. In our service, we'll be reflecting on the fact that it's not easy following Jesus. It's hard to be a Christian in the world of today. There are just a few announcements. Our prayer meeting over Zoom will take place as usual on Thursday at 7 p.m. and services next Sunday, Holy Communion at 11 o'clock and also at 7 in the evening. And finally, advance notice of Bible Week 2021. It runs from the 1st to the 3rd of September in Shankill Parish, Lurgan. Tickets are available online to go in person, but the evenings will also be live streamed, and you'll find more information on the parish website. We stand to sing our opening hymn, "The Lord is King, Lift Up Your Voice." Service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, We have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm appointed for this morning's service is Psalm 84, a psalm which speaks of the pilgrim's love and longing for God. We stand to read together Psalm 84. How lovely, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing to enter the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, who, going through the barren valley, find there a spring, and the early rains will clothe it with blessing. They will go from strength to strength and appear before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. Behold our defender, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For one day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of ungodliness. For the Lord God is both sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing shall the Lord withhold from those who walk with integrity. O Lord God of hosts, blessed are those who put their trust in you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated for our Old Testament reading. Our Old Testament lesson is written in the first book of Kings, chapter 8, beginning at the 22nd verse. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying to your presence this day. May your eyes be opened toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Here ends our Old Testament reading. Our next hymn is a great hymn of discipleship. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. Please be seated for our New Testament reading. Our New Testament lesson is written in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, beginning at the 56th verse. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Here ends our New Testament reading. And in response to our reading, we stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. All my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. Words from our next song, Jesus, All for Jesus.
Thank you.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage, for Christ's sake. Amen. In this day and age, it's hard to be a Christian. I'm sure you'd agree with that. The Christian is often regarded as the odd one out in the crowd. The Christian is the one whose values are different to everyone else's. The Christian is the person who wastes so much time and energy on the church when they could be doing so many other things for themselves. In a world where everything is about me, and everything revolves around having my needs and my desire for happiness and fulfillment met, there is no room for a religion that is focused on a man called Jesus and serving other people. That is so unreal and irrelevant for the modern world. But then being a follower of Jesus has been hard right from the beginning. At the start of John chapter 6, Jesus has thousands of enthusiastic followers whom he feeds with a boy's lunch. By the end of the chapter, he is left with just the 12 disciples, and even one of them was going to betray him. Everyone else had found Jesus' teaching too hard to swallow. And what was it that they found too hard? Well, Jesus told them to focus their faith and trust and life on him and on him alone. He said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me and I in them. The living Father sent me. Whoever feeds on me will live because of me." Now, there is a double difficulty here for Jesus' listeners. They know this man, Jesus. He comes from Nazareth. And yet he claims to have been sent by God the Father and that he is the giver of the true bread. That means he is one with God. And if that wasn't hard enough, Jesus is now also saying that if anyone wants to have life, life that is real, and life that's never ending, everyone needs to turn their focus on him. He says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day." Well, for the people who were listening to Jesus, that was too much. They had been used to a religion that focused on what they did, a religion that focused on how well they observed the rules, how often they went to the synagogue, how well they avoided doing the wrong thing. Their religion had become so much about what they did that this sudden switch to religion being about something besides them and being about faith in Jesus of Nazareth, that is more than they could handle. And you know, in our day, it's no easier to follow Jesus. For example, it's not easy to stick up for Jesus in a time when anyone associated with Jesus is considered a bit strange. It's not easy to say that you went to church on Sunday when colleagues ask you what you did at the weekend. It's not easy to respect others when there is so much abuse and bullying and harassment around us. It's not easy to be generous and giving when everyone is screaming to look after yourself first. It's not easy to be content when advertisers, magazines, Our TVs, our shopping centers are all geared to drive us to want more. Yes, it's hard to be a Christian and follow Jesus' ways when the larger part of our community doesn't understand where the Christian is coming from and hold a view of life which confronts us and challenges our values at every turn. But on the other hand, it's not too hard to make our Christianity very selfish and self-centered. It's just about what we can get for ourselves by believing in Jesus, or attending church, or being involved in this or that program of the church. Sometimes if people are asked why they belong to the church, the answer is often, well, because I get something out of it. I get something out of it. But isn't that a bit selfish and self-centered? Is being in the church just about what you can get out of it? Where does Jesus fit into this? And what is more, isn't being in the church more about what you can give rather than what you can get? Thinking of Jesus' words about how it's better to serve than to be served. You see, it's very easy to fall into this trap and reduce everything down to one simple question: what's in it for me? Martin Luther defined sin as the heart curved in on itself, the heart curved in on itself, curved in on ourselves, focusing on our needs, what excites us, what meets our needs and wants. We are left separated from Christ. And this is the sin that afflicts us today. Our hearts are curved in on themselves. And it's extremely hard to be a Christian because we live in a world that is curved in on itself. A world that places serving oneself as the top priority, over and above anyone and anything else, and sees the love and sacrifice of Christ as irrelevant. The self-centered ways of the world are in direct conflict with the self-giving ways of Jesus. And you know, it's hard when our vision becomes blurred and we can no longer distinguish what are God's ways and what are the world's ways. And we aren't even aware of how blurred things have become. A part of being what God intends us to be is to forget ourselves. By God's grace and by the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we find ourselves being drawn out of ourselves and into Christ. With Christ in the center of our lives, we are less focused on ourselves. We find that we are thinking less of ourselves and more about others. And our needs seem to grow smaller as we are given more responsibility for the needs of others. The love of Jesus beckons us on the most important journey we will ever undertake, the long countercultural journey outside of ourselves toward the true center of our being, who is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Creator. And I say it is countercultural because this self-forgetting attitude flies in the face of what the world tells us to do. It is a journey outside of ourselves outside of our selfish nature that only wants to be the focus of attention. It is a lifelong journey of making Jesus the heart and center of our lives. Yes, it is hard being a Christian when the world around us and even our own human nature screams at us to look out only for ourselves. And so it's good to come here in the presence of Jesus. It's good to know that his grace and his love and his forgiveness are real and true. Of course, we may not get all the answers we are looking for every time we come here. Indeed, we may go away with so many frustrations and anxieties as we had before. We may not even like the hymns or the style of worship or indeed the preacher. But that's not the point. We have come here in the presence of Jesus. We have heard him speak and again realized with the disciples, Lord, you really do have the words that give life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to walk in faith, but we so rarely do that. We follow for a time, but we are quickly led astray. When your message is too demanding, when you ask from us what we would rather not give, and when your words make us feel uncomfortable, then we turn away from you, resisting your call. When other interests conflict with discipleship, when the demands and responsibilities of each day crowd in upon us, we are swift to forget you. When life is hard and things do not go as we had hoped, faith gives way to doubt and we lose sight of your promises. Lord, forgive that shallowness of our commitment and grant light to our path so that we may step forward in faith and travel onwards wherever you might lead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we bring before you the nations of the world, continuing to pray in particular for Afghanistan. We are deeply concerned about this unfolding situation and the consequences, especially for the women and children living there. We pray for wisdom for international leaders in this moment. But we see the limits of human efforts, so we pray too that you would change the hearts and minds of the oppressors. We pray, Lord, for the displaced, that you would grant them protection and provision as they journey to find refuge in other countries. We pray also for the small number of believers in the country, that as persecution draws near, they would find strength in your promises. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in any kind of need. We continue to remember before you those affected by the recent earthquake in Haiti, those who have been bereaved and injured, those who have lost home, livelihood, and security, those who are fearful. Bless the work of relief agencies, search teams, and those providing emergency assistance. May their work be guided by the grace and strength that comes from you alone. Help us who watch to respond with generosity in prayer and in aid to the best of our abilities. And we bring into your presence now those who are sick, friends and members of our families. As we name them in the silence, we pray for healing of body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is a hymn of penitence, but it ends on a note of hope. How can we sing with joy to God? It has been good to worship together this morning. Let us bow our heads for God's blessing. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our souls. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and abide with us always. And so to our closing hymn, we turn to Christ anew.